Hello, and welcome once again to my Let's Make series. This time we are taking a side trip from making a bunch of NPCs. We're going to make a PC today. This is because I have in my hands, well, digital hands, it's a digital download right now, the character rulebook for the new Cypher. So old version was called Cypher System. New one's just called Cypher or Cypher 2 or C2 based on how you want to call it. But Cypher 2nd Edition is what I think of in my head. And there's enough stuff changing from Cypher System to Cypher 2 that I feel uncomfortable making an NPC right now if I don't have to specifically for my game. And if I have to specifically for my home game, then it's a massive spoiler. And I know that some of the people who are in that game watch the series on occasion. So that's the thing that I've been trying to avoid. So instead, we're going to make a PC because one of the ways that I get used to a system is I make characters in it. I highly recommend this. Also, making characters is fun. So today we are going to make a kobold rogue, or a rouge, depending on which kobold rogue you're talking to. Well, that would be A, but A was in Dungeons & Dragons. But it'd be neat to try to create A in Cypher. Problem is, there's no rules for kobolds. So we're going to get to that in a minute. Put a pin in that, because we're going to get to that. So let's move on to making our character. I am in Obsidian, which is a free tool for note-taking. I use it for my game prep. It is, like I said, it's a free download. It is closed source. It's not open source, but it saves all of the files in markup, which is really easy to mess with. So I don't need to use Obsidian to get my data. If Obsidian switched to a pay system, where I was like, I don't want to do this, I would still have access to all of my work. I don't think they're going to do that, but still. So we are going to take this template. I made a core character template because you start with the core character no matter what and then add to it. And we are going to duplicate this, make a copy, and I can close this. When I change this here, it'll change the name. We're going to write PC. Oh, can't contain that character. A, the Rouge. And that is intentional misspelling of rogue. That was a running gag in my campaign where A frequently referred to themselves as a rouge, not a rogue. So that's what we're going to be doing. So A-Y-E is a descriptor slash species, type, and focus. So going through the setup here, descriptor and species, and then type, and then focus. We have a bunch of descriptors that we can use. We have a bunch of focuses we can use. We have a bunch of types we can use. More types, because this is going to be a fantasy genre. So there's a bunch of different species in there too. And there's a bunch of different character classes in there. They took a lot of the stuff from Dungeons and Dragons and moved it over because they could. But let's go through and see what we've got here. I'm scrolling through the book, which I'm not showing on the screen because I'm not sure how much I'm legally allowed to show on the screen. Yes, they do have an open license for Cypher, but they haven't released that for the new stuff yet, so I don't know what's included. If it's like last time, then it's going to be almost all of the text, the art and the layout would be protected. But the book has the art and the layout, so that would be a problem. So let's take a look at the foci. Actually, no. Let's look at the types first, because I already know what type I want to use. I want to use a rogue, or rouge, as the case may be. So that's going to be page 60 on here. And that took me to paladin, because apparently the page numbers don't quite line up yet. I do have an early release version. So let's scroll down and try to find. There it is, rogue. All right, so we are going to put R-O-G-U-E. which is the correct spelling, even though A is the rouge. All right, so I've got some background options here that I'm really just going to scroll past because this character already has a personality. I have played this character as an NPC in my campaigns. I'm doing this as an exercise. So, rogue abilities. Able to take two more minor wounds and one more moderate wound. Okay, so down here on this character sheet that I quickly made in Obsidian, I am going to get rid of these double X's under minor and this double X here under moderate. So they can take 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 minor wounds and 4 moderate wounds before they're dealing with major wounds. Although there'll be some attacks, I'm sure, where they immediately do a major wound because of how severe they are. But that's probably going to be more so what we end up seeing from the GM's book and any creature books that come out. And I have a very, very early draft of the GM's book, but I'm not willing to use that as a guide because it was shown to me early enough that they hadn't even done the copy editing yet. So, not going to count that. What else do I add? I add 3 to my speed pool. So, speed is going to be 11. Add 1 to my intellect pool. So, that's going to be a 9. Otherwise, core character has straight 8s across the board. Add +1 to my... +1 edge to my pool of choice. For A, A did sneaky stuff and intellect stuff. And right now, I am going to put it in speed, but I'm going to put a question mark here just because I want to put a note to future me. Hey, you might want to move this over to intellect. That might be a thing you want to do. Freely use light and medium weapons. I'm going to put this down under skills. I think that'd be a good spot for it. Freely use light armor. Let's turn this into a bullet list. Can we turn this into a bullet list? Yes, we can. That's going to make that more convenient for future me. I gain 1 weapon of my choice or accept the equipment bundle weapons. I am going to select this. And again, I'm going to put this under skills, but that I'm going to need to do something with this. This can't stay here. And I've got something at tier 3 and tier 6, but I'm making a tier 1 character. At tier 1, you gain the following abilities. All right, so this is going to go under special abilities. Detect traps and expert sneak. Nice. These are both nice things. So let's copy paste detect traps, and it moved the highlight down. We're going to have to fix that. Well, I can double click on this. No, it's not letting me. Fine, I'll go in and do this the hard way. Format, highlight, turn off. Oh, I see what's going on. Let's put double equal signs there. Once you understand Markdown, it's actually very convenient. If you don't understand Markdown, it is a pain in the butt sometimes, but you begin to understand it quickly. When I copy-pasted this, it copy-pasted over all of the line breaks. And I don't want all the line breaks. So we are, actually action should be on a line by itself. We're gonna turn this into bullet points also. Format, paragraph, bullet list. I don't know why that bullet list wrecked my formatting. And these 3 things I want indented. There we go. So there's my formatting for detect traps. When you roll to find a trap and your roll is less than a 9, treat the roll as a 9. This means you don't get a GM intrusion if you roll a 1. Okay, that is nice. That is a really nice ability of not getting a GM intrusion every time I check for traps. That I don't think that existed in Cypher System. I think that's new to Cypher 2. That rhymed. You retain your increased trap sensitivity until you use a 10-minute or longer recovery. Fascinating. Effort. Okay, well, this costs 2 speed or intellect. So I can use points out of either. So far, if I'm looking for the thing that makes me decide, well, I'm definitely going to put that edge in speed or intellect versus the other thing, this has me interested in both right now. And I am aware that I still need to put 6 points into might, speed, and intellect split between them somehow. I have not done that yet because I want to see where all the other bonuses lay down before I put the icing on that cake. If I spend effort to increase the minimum number rolled for this ability by three, this is an action. I can't just do this willy-nilly. And at tier three, the minimum number rolled for this ability increases to 12. Well, that's all very nice. Now let's copy-paste Expert Sneak from the rulebook. Let's try to make sure I have the E in Expert Sneak in there. And we also need to fix my line breaks for this one. You are trained in stealth. At tier six, you become an expert in stealth. Well, this sounds like it should be there if you're already specialized, but you must gain the skill normally, such as from character advancement. You become an expert in stealth if you're already specialized. Okay, so I do have to move on my own. I need to move stealth from trained to specialized. But when I get to tier six, I automatically become an expert. That's actually going to make me hold it back, possibly, because I'm like, well, I'm going to get it for free when I get to tier six. I'm going to wait until tier. Well, it depends on whether or not I am going to get to tier six. Not every campaign gets you to the top tier. And I have one more one more ability that we add down here. Sneak attack. Gotta love sneak attack for a rogue. Sneak attack. If you use a light weapon to attack a foe under one of the following conditions, your attack inflicts +5 damage. This ability doesn't work with a medium or heavy weapon. All right, I need to tab this over. You attack with surprise. An ally uses their action to ease your attack. Your foe's defenses are hindered due to some other ongoing direct distraction. Your foe is unable to take their next turn due to some disabling attack or situation. And this is a first action, which I put out a crashes course on what that kind of sort of is. First actions and last actions and all those. I might end up not using them in my home game, because it's a lot of extra complication, and I haven't wrapped my head around that yet, but we will see. So I have these things here for my equipment bundle. Oh, I need to make a thing for equipment, don't I? Well, let's copy paste this here, and we'll call this equipment. There we go. And now we can put our equipment down here. What's the equipment bundle? Okay, copy paste. Two daggers. Appropriate clothing, a bag of light tools, including lockpicks, a backpack, a bedroll, 50 feet of rope, a hand mirror, three torches, rations and water for 3 days, a tinderbox, enough extra currency to buy a moderately priced item. I'm just going to leave that there because that's going to be a problem again for future me. Now, that is rogue. What else do we need to do? We need a foci. Or focus, we need our descriptor, and we need to do our species. So let's jump ahead to foci, of which I'm pretty sure in this book there is a spot for that. Or rather, in this chapter. Is there a fantasy skills? Let's species. Suggested foci. Okay. So abides in stone, blazes with fire, casts spells, commands mental powers, sounds about right. Because a did end up having that as an ability. Consorts with dead, controls beasts, crafts illusions, doesn't do much. Entertains, explores, fights dirty, fights unarmed, fights with panache, howls at the moon, hunts, infiltrates, leads, masters telekinesis. I will not make Ran yet. Tempted though. Masters weaponry, moves like the wind, never says die, performs feats of strength, quells evil, reveres a supernatural force. Rides the lightning, sneaks through shadows. That would probably be very good for a rogue, but not picking that because A, speaks with for the land, strikes with mystic might, tends to the wounded, wears a sheen of ice. So it looks like we are going to go with commands mental powers, which I click on the link, and once again, it takes me somewhere else. That is moves like the wind. These hyperlinks are just a little messed up. So let's do a Control F. Commands mental powers. There we go. We are going to copy that and paste. Oh my gosh, that copied everything. Fine, I'll just type it in like a normal person. Commands mental powers. So, you can send and receive thoughts as easily as communicating by voice. Genre themes, enchanter, telepath, GM intrusion, something glimpsed in the target's mind is horrifying. A feedback loop allows the target to read the character's mind. I'm going to add a new thing here specifically for GM intrusions. So again, I'm going to select copy, paste GM intrusions because I think having those on the character sheet allows the GM to check quickly. There we go. So the rules for this throws me off every time. I have to double check. There is a spot for this. 1 second. And we're back. And I was right, but I didn't want to say anything until I checked to make sure I was right. I am choosing two tier one abilities. That has not always been the case for foci, but it depends. In this case, it is. So I just need to go back to Commands Mental Powers because I scrolled up from that. Wow, there is a lot of stuff on here that mentions. Okay, so I've got three powers from which I may select two of them. Empathic sense psionics, and telepathic. I'm definitely going to pick telepathic. That is a thing that A could do. A predominantly used this to hum tunes into their best friend's head. That didn't have to do it that way. There's sense psionics. If there are mental powers, psionic abilities, or other psychic phenomena at work within a short range, you are aware of the fact, but not specifics, /1 actions. And empathic sense, you sense the general mental state of a being within short range. I'm going to pick that one. So these are going to be more special abilities. I'm going to add these down here. And it looks like empathic sense doesn't have a cost to it. It's a thing that you can just do, which is kind of nice. Oh, empathic sense, you shouldn't be like that. You should be, if I copy the formatting, there we go. And I like having the action description be one spot over, but that needs to, why the weird indent? As much as I like Obsidian, why is it causing problems today? I don't know. All right, next up, again, format, paragraph, bullet list. We're gonna go with telepathic. And this has a lot more going on for it. I am, by the way, doing these things out of order because I want to deal with certain things after I've dealt with all the others. There is a set order that they tell you to do. But the first rule of any TTRPG is if you don't like a rule and you're the GM, you can ignore the rule or you can make a better one. Because if you're not having fun, what's the point of playing a game? Games are meant to be fun. Okay, and now effort, that's formatted correctly. Action to establish contact. Okay, you know what? This, I think I might know why that was a problem. Format, paragraph, bullet list? Nope. This is really beginning to bug me, where it puts that gap there. I don't want that gap there. Now can I put you in a bullet list? Paragraph, bullet list. There we go. And then I can press enter right before last action and indent that over. It's still not formatting the way I would like, but I'm not going to worry about that. We're just going to let that sit there. Right. So I have those done. I have my type all laid out. I have my focus all laid out. If I wasn't talking myself through this, I'd probably done with the character already. Now, my descriptor. Let's take a look under fantasy again. We're not looking at fantasy skills. It's the first thing it takes me to. But there should be a list of descriptors that we can use. And there is an optional rule of you can put just the species here. And that is their descriptor. Or you can have an optional rule of players are allowed to have two descriptors. One is for descriptor as Cypher originally had it. And then the other one is if you want your character to be a specific species, you put that there. It makes all the characters a little bit more powerful, But if you don't do it that way, then some characters end up being more powerful than other characters. And while balancing different characters against each other is, in my opinion, foolhardy in a TTRPG, it is a thing you can do. So let's take a look for descriptors on here. I've gone to the index. All right, so my descriptors are appealing, bookish, brash, calm, cautious, chaotic, charming, clever, compassionate, creative, empathic, fast, maybe empathic. Right now I'm leaning between empathic and cautious. Fast, gloomy, graceful, guarded, maybe guarded, honorable, inquisitive, intelligent, intuitive, jovial, kind. I like kind. Mechanical, mysterious, mystical, perceptive, resilient, rugged, skeptical, stealthy, strong, strong-willed, tough, or virtuous. What's kind look like? Because A ended up being very kind. Ah, once again, that does not work. That clicking on that link took me to page 72, and it should not have taken me to page 72. It was supposed to take me to page like 22. So page 22 is skills. That doesn't help. All right. Oh, 28 it needed to be. And scrolling down, because these are not in alphabetical order, would help if they were, I think. Kind. It is always been easy for you to see things from the point of view of other people. That ability has made you sympathetic to what they want or need. From your perspective, you're just applying the old proverb that it's easier to catch flies with honey than with vinegar. But others see your behavior as kindness. Of course, being kind takes time, and yours is limited. You've learned that a small fraction of people don't deserve your time or kindness. True sadists, narcissists, and similar folk will only waste your energy, so you deal with them swiftly, saving your kindness for those who deserve it and can benefit from your attention. Fascinating read. Okay. You gain following characteristics plus 2 to your intellect pool, as someone with psychic powers is going to be useful. Trained in charm or healing. I don't think I want to use that. So let's go back and look at the list. All right, I think I'm going to go with compassionate. It doesn't fit 100% with what is received. What I'm going to gain are +2 to A's intellect pool. And also A is going to be trained in animal care or healing. I'm going to go with healing. But A did end up being very compassionate as an NPC. So we've got compassionate in there. We're going to get +2 to our int, which brings that up to 11. And we are going to be in our skills, trained in healing. There we go. So we've got that down. And now one last thing. Two last things, because I also need to put in those 6 points that have been sticking around for a while, not put anywhere yet, and I need to decide if I'm going to leave the edge there. But species. I could just say, there we go. But I don't want to do that. So taking a look at the species that are already here, we've got Dragonfolk, which they used to call them Dragonborn. I'm glad they've moved away from that, because there's 2 other games that have Dragonborn. There's Dungeons and Dragons and Skyrim. And those are very different. But Dragon Folk makes more sense. Dwarves, elves, gnomes, halflings, hellborn, which are essentially tieflings under another name. Humans, because of course we have humans. And orcs. I'm curious about humans. If I go to human, is this actually going to give them anything? Previously, if you picked human, it was like, okay, you picked human. This is the baseline. You don't get anything. Good day, sir. But in this case, you gain the following characteristics. Choose a second descriptor and add its benefits to your regular descriptor. Ah, the thing that I house ruled. They did it. Fantastic. Wonderful. So I'm glad that's in there. But for most of these, you get 3 things. Now, what those 3 things are can vary. For example, for Hellborn, the characteristics you get, you reduce the severity of wounds you receive from fire and heat by 1 step. You are trained in magic lore, and you inflict plus one damage with unarmed attacks. If we go to gnome, you don't get a GM intrusion if you roll a one on dodge rolls. That is a characteristic that more than one species gets, where in this specific situation, if you roll a one, it doesn't count as a GM intrusion. So gnomes have that for dodge. Elves have that for intellect defense. Dwarves don't have that. Dragonfolk have that for blocks. That's something that if I give that to kobolds, that is, like, there's precedent for that. Dragonfolk are also trained in intimidation, except against dragonfolk and dragons. And they do additional 1 point of damage using a specific, they refer to it as energy, but then they say acid, cold, fire, and so on. Cold, which is predominantly an energy. Actually, it is literally, quite literally, the lack thereof, but whatever. And acid. Ah, yes, the energy type known as acid. You can't see the face I'm making right now, but I understand. I understand they had to word it a certain way. They were running out of options. Just take a look at the different types of dragon breath that are Dungeons and Dragons. Pick one of those. That's what they meant. I'm sure that's what they meant. Dwarves, you add plus one on recovery rolls. You are trained in navigation if underground or in mountainous areas, and you inflict plus one damage if you are using an axe. Elves, already mentioned the GM intrusion thing for intellect defense. You are trained in stealth in forested areas. So if you're gaining training in something, sometimes they limit it to a specific area. Gnomes, on the other hand, they're trained in crafting. It's not trained in crafting if you are making a certain thing. It's just, hey, you're trained in crafting. Now, there is a list of skills that they say I can pick from for things. But I kind of want to add one in particular for this. So let's go to new descriptors. And I'm going to make a new descriptor, kobold. Actually, the descriptor names are all written in all caps. So kobold. There we go. And I'm going to write a paragraph here. But I'm going to pause this so you're not watching me type. And we're back. And here's what I have. I might go and change it, but let's look at what I have so far. So, kobold, you are a subterranean lizard-like being who claims kinship with dragons and dragonfolk. By the way, all of the species descriptions are written in this format where they're saying, hey, you are this thing. So that's why I'm writing it this way. Normally, I would not. Though this is not always reciprocated by your taller cousins. As a kobold, you are roughly the same size as gnomes, 3.5 feet, but appear more monstrous to most, leading most of your kin to stick to the shadows and try to avoid direct conflict. When this can't be avoided, you tend to work in groups to take down larger foes, or at least buy time for others to escape. You gain the following characteristics, and I stuck with three. There were a bunch that I was thinking of adding, but I narrowed it down to these three, and I suppose I can always, if I want to make a kobold that has something else going on, just pull from other areas to make that work. You don't get a GM intrusion if you roll a one while attempting to be stealthy. So this is one that I didn't already see, so I'm adding that in. Actually, what was the thing that I already had? I thought there already was one. I don't see it. So let's go back to this. You are trained in crafting if making traps. Now, this is not as good as what the gnomes get. They're just trained in crafting in general. But kobolds specifically, most times I see them written, they do stuff in numbers. They're avoiding conflict directly. They're not going to form a shield wall, usually. They are hiding in shadows and waiting for you to step on that particular twig that is just standing in the middle of the trail to activate their traps. And this is taken not from current D&D, but from a previous version of a previous version. Attacks are eased by one if an ally is in immediate distance of your target. So there's pack tactics. There's pack tactics for you. Now, not exactly pack tactics. Pack tactics would require that ally to be engaged in combat with said foe, but I couldn't be bothered. So I have added these over to A, the Rouge. A is a compassionate kobold, and now I get to do things with might, speed, and intellect. Let's do 2, 2, and 2. I do want my might to be slightly higher. Might is how we can, well, one of the ways we can heal ourselves, we can spend might from our might pool to recover a minor wound. Speed is going to go up to 13, and intellect is going to go up to 13 as well. I'm going to get rid of that question mark. Now, last but not least, let's go to the top of this PDF. There is a flowchart they give us on page 14. So I have 8 points in each pool. Check. 6 points added to the pools. Check. Choose 2 skills and an optional 3rd skill and an inability. I have not done this, so I get to add 2 more skills. This is not a real world character, so I chose my type from the genre, added to pools, added edge, added abilities, added equipment. For my descriptor had me add +2 to a pool and I gained a skill. Did I gain 1 skill from my descriptor? I'm pretty sure I did. Yes, I did. That's built in. And for my focus, I chose 2 tier 1 abilities. For ciphers, that's a GM giving the cipher, so I'm not worrying about that right now. So all I need to do at this point, because I was skipping around, I forgot to give myself 2 skills. Let's go back to the fantasy genre and look at the skills I have available. I'm getting to pick 2 of these, and there are some skills where they are tier restricted. What that means is that you need to hit a minimum tier requirement before you become trained or specialized in them. Defending is tier restricted, and that's the only one of the recommended skills. So skills that are here, trained in stealth. I already have stealth, so let's add that. Also, that C in crafting should be capitalized. Formatting, bane of my existence. There we go. Trained in stealth. And I pick 2 more. Animal care, athletics, attacking is tier restricted. Crafting, I kind of have that already. Deception, disguise, disarming traps, escaping. That sounds perfectly reasonable. And I think I'm not going to go with, actually, trained in lockpicking. I imagine most people picking a rogue character for their 2 skills, they would pick lockpicking and pickpocketing. But I like escaping for A specifically with how I've made A. So friends, thanks for hanging out with me for, wow, this is a long recording. As I make this character, I like A. I might find a way to use this. I also made some changes to my template. I am going to include all of this in a zip file, including some art for A, which, can I show you the art? That's not a, am I allowed to? It's a, am I physically able to? There we go. There's some art for A. I'm going to put all this in a zip file, and there'll be a download link for that in the notes for this episode. It's going to be the same link that I usually use, which goes to my Patreon, but it's available to the public. The only reason I'm using Patreon for this is it's easier for me to update that regularly than it is for me to go to my website and update there. There's fewer hoops for me to jump through to do that. So that's where it'll be. This will be the only PC at the time I'm recording this, but who knows? That'll grow. We'll see. So thanks for hanging out with me, and I'm going to find the button to play myself out. All right. Music that you might be hearing, because it doesn't always pick up in the recording for some reason, is Bubble Machine by Drozerix. It's in the public domain. You can get that from modarchive.org. All this stuff gets put on aaronbsmith.com. You can email me at cogwheel@aaronbsmith.com. I'm on the Fediverse at is.aaronbsmith.com/@cogwheel. And also tube.fediverse.games. I'm on there also. That's my PeerTube account, but you can get to there from AaronBSmith.com. Patreon, mentioned that earlier, patreon.com/CogwheelGaming. And thanks to our wonderful patrons who help us keep the lights running, Ellie, Liv Droman, Paul, Walter, and Patron Emeritus Cindy. Until next time, have fun.